to be fed with the Word of God. I pray for utterance in the Holy Spirit. I pray for the anointing to teach and to share. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will break down the Word to us, make otherwise complex things really easy for us to understand. Open our eyes to appreciate the Word of God like never before. And bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Right. So over the last few weeks, I have been sharing with you about the anointing. Amen. And I've been sharing with you in particular, I started by sharing with you reasons why every believer or every Christian must be anointed. Amen. Because I took time to explain to you that having the wrong mentality about the anointing actually cuts you off a huge chunk of blessing that God intends for you to have. Amen. Because once you assign anointing to preachers only, then you consider yourself as not being a preacher, and therefore you don't stand a chance of being anointed, or you're not one of those. Okay, something is bothering Akwete. Okay. All right. Akwete, it's going to happen again. So why don't you bring it and bring it next to her, or, you know, just bring it from here. And yes, put it right there. You can give it a seat on its own. And then, okay. All right. See, there are some people like that. They can't stand disorder and things. They can't concentrate. Amen. It's also a type of personality. Amen. All right. So I was saying that we don't need to cut ourselves off a huge chunk of God's blessing and what God intends for us to have just because we do not see ourselves as preachers. Amen. But by the way, why are you not a preacher? Ask your neighbor, by the way, why are you not a preacher? Amen. Because the Bible says, he said to all of us, go ye into all the world. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. So it's for all of us, but that's for another sermon. Amen. So remind me, I'm going to preach to you, why are you not a preacher? Okay, so remind me, I have to preach that message to you. But anyway, I'm just sharing with you that it's not just for preachers. It is for regular Christian living. Amen. That you do need to be anointed. Hallelujah. You do need to be anointed. The anointing is not just for people who preach. It's like saying screwdrivers are only for professional workmen. No, in your everyday life, you're going to need a screwdriver at some point. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so they may be the ones more associated with using screwdrivers, but it won't be long before you have to do something that requires a screwdriver. Hallelujah. So every believer must be anointed, and you must be interested in this thing called the anointing and crave it and ask, how can I also be anointed, and what can the anointing do for me? Amen. Amen. So then, from there, I gave you some reasons, seven of them. Then from there, I went on to talk about 15 powerful effects of the anointing in your life. Amen. And once I start going over them, I just can't go past a certain point. So I'm not going to go over them again. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I enjoy it so much. Once I start to share it, it just goes to another place. So today I'm going to attempt to just skip them, you know. I think I've given you about how many? Five. Number one was what? You just tell me. Because if I tell you, I'll preach about it. supernatural help for your life. Amen. How many could use some supernatural help for your life? Powerful. Amen. Number two, Harry lifted both hands. Hey, it's like I need some help from God. Amen. Do you know that it is because of supernatural help that people go to juju people, and you come to a place and you realize that normal living is not going to cut it. Do you get it? You need some talisman around your neck or something around your waist, even if it's vegetables. You know, when I went to boarding school, there was one particular guy who had some dried vegetables around his waist. You know, dried peppers and garden eggs and all kinds of things around his waist. It was supposed to protect him from us. Do you see? Yeah. So he used to like to take a shower alone. You know, in the boarding school, you have a group bathroom, and you just wait, and everybody's finished, and he'll go there because of his onions and other things around his waist. Hallelujah. But people do all these things because they realize that in life, you need a bit of extra power. Do you see? You need extra power to be able to climb the hills, to be able to descend the valleys safely, to be able to do the things that you need to do in life. And that's supernatural power. And you need that. Hallelujah. And you shouldn't go to the wrong source. The main problem with those things is that it is like asking the devil to protect you from the devil. Do you understand? Which is a contract the devil would like to have. Because it means then that he holds the key also to your destruction. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. If he is the one that you contract to protect you, then you also give him the key to destroy you when he's ready and willing to destroy you. Amen. God is the only true source of supernatural power, and it is his power we must trust and believe. Say amen. Amen. All right. So if you're a Christian, you must not indulge in those kinds of things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must not live a double life. You must not come to church and then also consult some witch doctors and consult some occultic powers, you know, and go to people to read your palm, you know, and to read under your feet and, you know, ask people to tell you the future. You know, some of us we believe in the Bible and everything, but we also believe in reading our stars, do you see, and seeing what is in the star. Meanwhile, you have not had your quiet time. Do you understand? You're not reading what the Bible or what is the Lord saying, but you're reading the star. And say, today, what are some of those things they say? An old acquaintance will meet you at your workplace. Yeah. Then it says you have a quality of attracting good people or something like that. Yeah. Do you see? Some people even go to Chinese restaurant because of the cookies. You get it? Because after you've finished eating the food, you're going to get this little thing. And then you pull a sheet of something like, and then 5723, your lucky numbers. Ooh. You see, one day I was watching the food channel and they were showing how they make those cookies and how they just write the things on them and they cut them so and then they put them in the cookies. How can someone's future be dependent on this? How can you put your whole life on this thing? And they are showing how they make the thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people buy newspapers regularly because of to read those kinds of things. You know, you hear people identifying themselves. They say, I'm a Scorpio. In fact, the first time I heard someone say that, I thought she meant, I'm a Scorpion. So I asked, why are you calling yourself a Scorpion? So, no, I didn't say Scorpion. I mean Scorpio. Scorpio is a star, isn't it? People who are born end of October, beginning of November. Yeah, so that makes Lady Pastor Kwele a Scorpion. What a shock. can you be a scorpion? Hallelujah. So, instead of assigning your future to those kinds of things, you must believe in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The Word of God is not seasonal in its effect. What God says today is what He says tomorrow, is what He says next week. It's what the Bible says. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. God, you can count on God to be good to you every day of your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. So that's very important. Anyway, I told you, if I start going through this thing, I will preach about them again. So, but I still want you to list them. So number two is what? You'll be raised up to heights in life. I see you being raised up to heights in life. Say amen. Amen. Number three, it will what? Establish you. This is one of my favorite ones. Hallelujah. The anointing will establish you. Some of you need early establishment. Hallelujah. You need to settle early so you can take off. And so your life can take off and become what it is designed to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You need to be able to have certain things sorted out around you. So you are settled, and then it's going to happen. And it comes from God. Amen? Establishment comes from God. The opposite of that is to walk under the curse that says your life will hang in doubt before you. Do you understand? Your life, like a pendulum, will just be swinging one time here, another time here, another time there, another time, and your life is just going like that, dancing before your eyes. But may God deliver you from that curse by bringing His anointing upon your life. Amen. And all unanswered questions in your life will be answered in the name of Jesus. Some of you don't know what next from where you are, which is an important answer to have, because really that's the only thing you need to know in life, which is what to do next. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is going to give you those answers as you trust in Him and as you get into prayer. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the Word of God today? Right. Next one is what? It will introduce strength. It will give you capacity. It will give you ability. You'll be able to do the things you need to do. It will give you impetus. Do you understand? And it will stimulate you internally to be able to rise up and do the things you have to do. Go to the places you need to go to. Amen. Amen. To start the things you need to start. To apply for the things you need to apply. And to stop doing what you need to stop doing also. Hallelujah. The anointing is going to give you all those powers to be able to do that. Say amen. Amen. I said say amen.
Amen.
Wow. Next one. It protects you from deception. No more lies. Hallelujah. And no more falling prey to deception. You will no longer be a victim of deception. The worst one is when you are deceiving yourself. You know, when the deceiver and the deceived are the same person, it's unfortunate. Hallelujah. But the anointing will deliver you from deception. You will not be deceived. The enemy, there's a verse we read, isn't it? We read a verse that said, the enemy will not deceive him, isn't it? The enemy, Psalm 89 and verse 22, the enemy will not deceive him. Have you got that? The enemy will not deceive him. I will put Psalm 89 and verse 22. Psalm 89 and verse 22. It says, the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Now give that to us in the New American Standard Version or whatever other version you have. And you'll see it right there. It says, the enemy will not deceive him. Hallelujah. The enemy will not deceive him. Say, I cannot be deceived. Lift up your hand and say it like you believe it. Say, I cannot be deceived because I'm anointed. Say, because of the anointing on my life, I cannot be deceived. Hallelujah. Amen. You will not be deceived because of the anointing. God will open your eyes to every deception in your life. God will open your eye to every blind spot in your life. Isn't it? God will not make you a casualty. He will not allow you to be deceived. Amen? He will not allow certain situations that have happened to others to happen to you also. You're going to see and you will learn. Amen? You're going to learn from people's lives. You will understand the things you see. The Bible said someone went by the field of a sluggard, and then he observed what had happened, and then he looked at it and he learned. Do you understand? So you will learn from the things you see around you. You will learn from the examples you see around you. Your eyes will be open. You'll be able to interpret situations that you see and come across, and you'll be able to see that this is what has produced this in this place, and I will not fall victim to this same situation. Say amen. Amen. Right. So number six. Do you have a number six? You don't. All right. So I will give you number six. Number six, the anointing will deliver you from the afflictions of the devil. It says, the son of wickedness will not afflict him. The son of wickedness will not afflict him. So the devil will not afflict you. And agents of the devil, they are all called the sons of wickedness. That is, the products of wickedness will not affect you. Hallelujah. Amen. The sons of wickedness will not afflict you. And that includes all forms of wickedness and unreasonable behavior. Do you understand? That cause torment and pain to people. You know, sometimes people are very wicked. Hallelujah. People can be very, very wicked. One of the elements of wickedness is insensitivity. Do you see? You are past feeling. You don't feel what affects other people. Do you understand? And you put them through pain and put them through suffering. Do you see? And the Bible says when you are anointed, the enemy, the son of wickedness, will not afflict you. Amen. And that goes also to affect even your body. The anointing delivers you also from sickness and disease. Hallelujah. The anointing will deliver you from sickness and disease. It will deliver you from things that afflict your body. I don't know if you've had the chance to watch the Healing Jesus Crusade as it's been going on in Liberia. Anybody has seen any of it? Any of the live programs? Yeah. And I'm sure by the time we're closing the service today, they will be on. Yeah. And maybe I'll show you about 5 minutes of it. Amen. But you will see the miracles that God has worked because of the anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing has delivered people from blindness. You know, the anointing has delivered people from, like yesterday I saw this woman who was bent over, you know, and the people themselves come and they demonstrate how they used to walk, you know, and the woman came and she said she used to walk like this and she had a stick because she couldn't stand, you know, and then through the anointing, in the place, nobody even prayed for her. There was nothing like anybody laying hands on her because the crowd is too large. So Bishop cannot even go there and lay hands on anybody. But from the stage, he prays a prayer. And then God himself visits the people. So when the miracle happens, you know this is God because you don't even know who he's touching. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't know who he's touching and who he's healing. But in particular, yesterday there was a young little girl, You know, what was it? I think she said she had a stomach pain. She was blind also. Right. So she had a stomach. And I heard somebody say that she was rolling on the. She was. Give her a microphone so she can tell us the story properly. Okay. Yeah.
After the lady had testified, the doctor said that she had a very bad tummy ache. So as she was coming to the stage to testify on the healing, she was also blind and her eyes were open. But then there was somebody who was at the medical condition in the morning and said this girl had come there and she was in so much pain and she was just rolling on the floor from side to side. And he told the girl's aunt or father something like, this girl, there's nothing you can do for her pain. But let's just believe that the power of God will touch her. So when he saw her up on stage testifying, he was just like, wow.
Yeah, you see, and the girl, there was a lady who came, who I think she was working with the medical team, and she said that she always used to think the lady was a man. Yeah, so anytime the lady came near her, she said, uncle, uncle. But on her way to the stage to testify, the Lord opened her eyes, and she began to see. Then she said she saw that the person was a lady. So she started to call her Auntie Barbara or something like that. You know, it's an amazing thing. And when you watch it, you just, I mean, what is going on here? Do you understand? But that is the power of God, and it is made possible by the anointing. Do you understand? The devil likes to oppress people, but the anointing breaks his oppression on people. So whatever you do, you need to be anointed. I tell you. The anointing will do much more for you than even a college degree, I'm telling you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you must believe in the anointing and you must strive to be anointed. Be an anointed person. And when you're anointed, a lot of these things cannot even happen to you in the first place. Do you understand? Because you become too slippery for anything to sit on you for a long time. It may touch you, but it just slips off. Because the anointing has made you too slippery for that. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I see that happening. I really want to encourage all of you to watch while the crusades go on. They'll be going on every afternoon around here. I think it's from about 12:30 or so. If you go to healingjesus.tv, you will see it being broadcast live. And the miracle sessions are around 2:30 p.m. So I'm just trying to give you... That's where the showtime actually happens. And you see, hallelujah. It's very, very powerful. Amen. And you can receive a miracle through that also. When you watch it, you can receive a miracle in your life. Amen. All right. So the enemy will not afflict him. Now the next one. Next one, number what? Number seven. Number seven, the anointing will cause enemies who fight against you to be destroyed. The enemies who fight against you will be destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. That's in verse 23, Psalm 89 and verse 23. It says, but I will crush his adversaries before him. I will crush his adversaries before him and strike those who hate him. When you are anointed, you might as well wear a label that says, hate me at your own risk. Are you getting it? You can wear a label confidently that says, hate me at your own risk. Because God says, if you hate me, he will strike you. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So when you are anointed, your enemies who fight against you will be destroyed. You don't have to bother with them. Amen. There are some of us who spend way too much time and energy on our enemies. Do you see? We spend way too much time and energy on our enemies. In fact, when you hear some people talk about God, I mean, talk about the devil, and talk about the enemy and the fears and so on, Recently, I was speaking to someone, and I told that person, "You seem to have more to say about the devil than God. You see, you seem to know more about the devil than God. You seem to have more fear for the devil and what he can do than for God and what he can do against what the devil is doing. You see, the way you talk about the negative things and the things people can do, you see, it's like you are celebrating it so much. You know, and even any attempt to sort of get you to think along a different line, it's not working. You see, I'm a pastor and I'm sharing with you and I'm talking to you about what God can do for you in spite of what the enemy is doing. But you seem to be obsessed with what he's doing. That's all you want to talk about. You want to talk about the devil and who is which and that place. And I mean, why do you have so much, instead of learning so much about witches and how they fly and which place they are coming from, why don't you also learn about angels? Why don't you also learn about angels? Why don't you learn about the Holy Spirit? Why don't you learn about God? If you could say as much as you can say about devils and demons, if you could say as much about God and his angels, you would live a more victorious life than what you have. Hallelujah. So you need to understand that the Bible says God will cause your enemies that fight against you to be destroyed. Yeah. People who sit in their rooms and gossip and speak against you. Do you see? People talk about God's people and God hears it. Let me show you an example. Numbers chapter 12. Go to the book of Numbers. Chapter 12. Hallelujah. I think I should show you this real quick and we go on. Numbers chapter 12. The book of Numbers. Do you know where to find Numbers? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Can you see that? Yeah. Chapter 12, verse 1, quickly. Now it says, now Miriam, not this one, please. I have to remind you that it's not this one. But now Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. Do you understand? Verse 2. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? Now everybody read the last part of verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord heard it. Come on. Say, read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord heard it. Come on. 1, 2, 3, go. Who heard it? The Lord, even before Moses. Moses probably did not even hear it. Moses heard it from the Lord. When the Lord called, if you read on, you see that the Lord called for a meeting. He says, Moses, call yourself and Miriam and Aaron and come to this meeting. And it was at that meeting that God announced what had been going on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to understand that we are working or dealing with a God who has far more interest in you than you will ever know. Someone who is counting the hairs on your head. You are not counting the hairs on your head. Are you counting the hairs on your head? You just want them to grow longer. That is your only problem. But God is not only thinking about their length. God is thinking about how many there are. Hallelujah. If God must have interest in your hair, it must be when they are falling out. That's because then the number is reducing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you need to understand that God has interest in you. Many things that concern you, when the enemy is planning strategies and trying to do things to work against you, God will rise up to your help. Amen. I said God will rise up to your help. Says God heard it. The people were talking about Moses, and Moses did not know that people were talking behind his back. You are very worried about who is discussing you in their apartment and who is talking about you and what is this person saying. And it's even turning you into an unfriendly person and turning you into an awkward person. Do you understand? You are starting to suffer from paranoia Do you understand? Because what is happening is that you are always very careful and conscious of who is saying what and what are they thinking. But God is the one who is hearing things about you. Why don't you just leave? I don't care what you say about me. And you find people even going from person to person, trying to find out what is this person saying. If they wanted you to hear it, would they not have told you? Hallelujah. I don't go around prying into issues and trying to find out what people are saying and thinking of me. I feel that anything anybody really wants me to hear, they'll say it. Anything they say, that they say behind my back, it means they don't want me to hear, or they're afraid that I'll hear it. And if someone is already afraid that you hear, why do you even want to know what they said? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. God heard it. And God took action. I mean, action that Moses could never have taken. Because these two people were his siblings. Wow. Says God heard it. Let me show you another one. Do you want another one? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Have you found Genesis chapter 20? Okay. Genesis chapter 20. This is a very interesting story. Abraham journeyed from thence to the south country. Verse 2. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art a dead man." Everybody say, God is taking action. Can you see that? Yeah. See, Abraham was going to a place. Do you understand? And he had a beautiful wife. And he said, these people, if I go there, they'll kill me because of my wife. So he told his wife, "Listen, you are my sister. Is that clear?" And the wife said, "Okay." So when they went to the place, then Abraham said, "Hello, my name is Abraham. Meet Sarah, my sister, my backbone." Then this king, Abimelech, he said, "Oh, wow, you have a beautiful sister." So he took them to his place and then he said, "Abraham, here's your room over here." Then he turned to the wife and said, "Sister, you come with me." Do you get it? And then the man went to sleep at night. In the night, God caused the man to dream. Do you understand? God caused the man to dream. He said, God, and the dream God announced to him, "Behold, you are a dead man." Even before he's telling him why he's dying. Hallelujah. God will rise up to your help. The things that concern you, God will rise up and deal with them on your behalf. Say amen.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? God will rise up to your help. God will take action on your behalf. God will fight people on your behalf. When you read on, you will see. It says, so they had a discourse, and God, he says that, but verse 4, Abimelech had not come near her, and the Lord said, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream. You need to watch out for your dreams. Okay. God said unto him in a dream, "Yeah, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." So you can see that God is saying that even though he knew that the man did this in the integrity of his life, he was not excused from punishment. He said, "If you like, try." You get it? If you like, you try. You've gone to take this man's wife. You've brought her. And you are saying that you are doing it because he said, that's my sister. You try it. You try it. You see what will happen to you. Hallelujah. Amen. And then said verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet. Do you understand? That means he's anointed. Do you understand? He says that he's a prophet and he shall pray for thee and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die. Thou and all that are thine. Not only you, but all the people around you are going to die. Now, when you jump and read on to verse 17, it says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Verse 18, for God had first closed up all the wombs. Can you imagine that? God had first closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. This is before the issue even started. As soon as the man went and took the woman, before God came to discuss it, he sent angels, come on, shut all the wombs in this family. Just shut. Nobody in this place has children. Now, that also means our actions have far-reaching consequences. You don't understand why somebody cannot have a child. But you see that for this man's action, God had already taken, he had secured, gone there, closed all the wombs, 1, 2, 3, 4, just close all of them before he came to discuss the issue with the man. And he says, my friend, you're a dead man. And he was just watching his reaction. If you're going to argue with me and so on and so on, it's up to you. But I've really secured myself and secured the issue already. It says, go and ask Abraham to pray for you. And so Abraham went and he prayed for the man. When Abraham went and prayed for the man, then the Bible says God healed all of them. And it is only after then that they tell us what God had already done. Do you understand? Which is that God had already given them all. They will go for fertility treatment. They will take all kinds of pills. They will do all kinds of things. Nothing is going to happen because God has shut the womb because of what the person is doing. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? And God said, the reason why I'm doing this is because you are touching somebody who is anointed. The person is my prophet. So when you hear people who talk, sometimes people who criticize pastors and people who say things, you see, they're only looking at one side of the person. You're only looking at his human side. But a large portion of what you should consider before you say anything is actually invisible to you. Do you understand? A large part of the things you should consider, the things that you must consider before you speak against someone that God is using, it's usually hidden from you because you cannot see it. And when Abimelech was doing all these things, he didn't realize that he was dealing with someone who was very special and important to God. God's prophet. Hallelujah. So, God will take action for you when you're anointed. Say amen. How many want to be anointed? Yeah. God will take action on your behalf. Some of you have wicked professors. People who think that your future is in their hands. Do you understand? Because they feel that your grades depend on them. But they don't know that your life depends on more than grades. Do you understand? And the grades they have to assign to you is just a temporary privilege that God has given them. Where you are concerned. But many professors interpret that to mean that they themselves are now God. And they are the God of your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But God can deliver you from all such professors. Not Harry. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it's very important. People Wicked people who plot against you have to be very careful. You get it? And you have a right to tell somebody that, listen, when you're dealing with me, you have to be very careful. Do you get it? And they'll ask, are you threatening me? And you say, oh, no, I'm not threatening you. But the thing is that I'm anointed. See, I'm the Lord's anointed. And people who plot against me, plot against the one who anointed me. You see, and that's where the problem is. You tell the person, you may need me to pray for you. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is very important. Number what? That was number seven. So number eight, the anointing will cause you to experience the loving kindness of God. The anointing will cause you to experience the loving kindness of God. Verse 24, it says, my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. That means you will be special to God. Amen. God will respond to you. Loving kindness because of the anointing. A certain bond will exist between you and the Lord that causes him to respond to you in a special way. Hallelujah. See, it's that same bond that causes... You see, a child is crying. When a child is crying, people are around and everyone can see it. But the one whose child it is feels a higher sense of obligation to attend to the child. Do you understand? Because of a certain bond. Everyone can walk away from the child, but not that person. Do you understand? Because there is a certain bond. A certain bond that exists between you and the child that you have produced, which comes from God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's saying that my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. God will be faithful to you. You can count on him. Amen. God will be with you. His faithfulness and loving kindness will be with you. Then number nine, the anointing will establish you as a man of or a person of authority. Okay, the anointing will establish you as a person of authority. He says, and in my name, verse 24, his horn will be exalted. The horn is the symbol of a king's authority. And the anointing will cause your horn to be lifted up. Hallelujah. God will establish you as a person of authority. And you will be able to exercise authority. God's anointing upon you will cause you to be promoted to lead a team at work. Yeah. You'll be a team leader. To be able to lead even your family. Do you understand? Yeah. To be able to lead people even though you yourself may not have done so well in that particular area. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You take someone like David. David messed up. Say he messed up. David the king, he messed up. Do you see? But he had authority in spite of messing up. Do you understand? Yeah. All the people who were with David could not rise against him because of what he did wrong, even though they knew very well that he had done wrong. Because the authority David had a supernatural source. Amen. And your authority is also going to have a supernatural source. Hallelujah. God will help you to lead people. Amen. You become a manager at your workplace. And a good manager. And people will respect you. When you speak, it will make a difference. People will take you seriously. Say amen. Amen. Number 10. The anointing will cause you to expand. The anointing will cause you to expand. That means, look at verse 25. I will also set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. Hallelujah. The anointing will cause you to expand. It will expand your sphere of influence. your life will touch more people. Amen. Your life will affect more people. God will widen and broaden the scope of your influence on people's lives. You will have more things to say to more people about more things and more issues. Can I have an amen? Amen. God will make you a very relevant person. That your life will extend beyond your small world. It will go beyond yourself, your husband, your wife, your children. Your life will go beyond that. You will begin to have influence and have an impact on people way beyond you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will expand your influence. That's a blessing. It's a blessing that your actions affect people beyond your immediate circle. That your words affect people in faraway places. It's a blessing that people want to hear you speak in a faraway place. It's a blessing that someone somewhere far away is taking decisions based on what you said. Think about it. You will be here in Oakland or in San Jose or in Alameda or in Fremont, and your words have impact in a very faraway place. People are taking decisions based on the advice they got from you. It's a blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. So God will cause your sphere of influence to expand. Amen. And God will give you things to say to people. You see, when you're discussing marriage, you have something to say. When people are making career choices, you have something to say. When people are deciding what to do with themselves, you have something to say. People are considering health options and health issues, you have something to say. You see that God has actually put one hand here and another hand here, and He has expanded you and enlarged you. Can I have an amen? Amen. And that is going to happen because of the anointing. Amen, Chichi. The anointing will not turn you into a small person in some small corner. The only influence you have is in your kitchen to decide whether to eat rice or potatoes. That's a very, very small influence. To wear brown shoe or black shoe today. Should the heel be high or flat today? That's your only influence. Too small. But God will bring you to a place. It will even make you careful what you say. Because people are going to take you seriously. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will raise up people who look up to you. People who are even watching your life. And patterning their life after yours. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Yesterday when I woke up in the morning, one person had sent me a text message. He said, I so want to teach like you. I said, well, you know, and it was the first thing I saw. It's just out of the blue. Somebody is sitting somewhere and he's just thinking, I want to be able to teach like you. Do you understand? And the person is far away. Do you see? He's not near here. He's far away. But he's just somewhere and he's starting to think about it. It means you are actually beginning to have an impact on people's lives in a very faraway place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This morning, I got another one. I got another one from another person, this time a lady. She said, you know, if you have anything, any plan for me or anything to say, please don't hold back, say it. You get it? Yeah. And it was because last night, I was just there when the Lord brought the person to my mind. I just sent the person a text and I said, hello, how are you? I just asked, how are you? And then the reply I got was, fine. Then the next text from the person, please, if you have any plan for me or anything, please don't hold back. Just say it. Hallelujah. So it's an amazing thing. It's a blessing that the Lord gives to you, that the Lord will cause you to be a person of influence by His grace. Amen. I see you becoming a person of influence. Your advice will matter. Your counsel will matter. Even your thoughts will matter. What you say to people will make a difference in their lives by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Our time is up, you know. Wow. Are you being blessed by the steps and by the 15 powerful effects? Today we managed to get to 10. That's not bad. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. So I have 5 more powerful effects to share with you. And when I'm done with that, I'm going to show you how to be anointed. I'm going to start sharing with you some of the steps that will lead to an anointing. Because it's not just one route. Do you understand? It's like a building that has many different entrances to the top. Do you see? So you can take the elevator, you can take the emergency exit over here, you can take one. You see, so there are many ways, but the elevator is like the fastest one. Do you understand? So I'm going to show you which one is the elevator to the anointing, the fastest one that takes you to the 6th floor very quickly. I'm going to show you that. Then after that, I'm going to take you slow, show you some other slow but sure ways also of getting there. Those are the emergency exit places. Can I have an amen? Amen? But I tell you that these things I'm sharing with you, they are very important to your life. KK, you need to be anointed. Amen. You need to be anointed. You need to be anointed. Every one of us needs the anointing. You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you and cause you to be anointed. And God will not hold. God has promised. He said, I will not hold back the Holy Spirit from you. Do you understand? He said, even you know how to give good gifts to your children. You know how to give. How much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? That is what the Lord said. So God will give you His Holy Spirit. Amen. God will not hold back His anointing from you. Because you seek Him, you're going to find Him. Amen. Bow your heads, everybody, and begin to pray and say, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to be upon me. Oh, Lord. He said, I will set my right hand in the sea, and then I will set his other hand in the rivers. God wants to expand your influence. Here a little, there a little, over there a little, over there a little. God even wants to broaden your scope of knowledge and understanding. God wants to make you knowledgeable in many things. In many things. God wants to make you knowledgeable in many things and in many areas. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, open your eyes and listen to me one second. You see, one of the effects of the anointing on a person's life is what you are able to know, which you didn't learn. Do you see what I'm saying? What you are able to know, because most of us have only sufficient education to know one thing in life very well. Do you understand? Because the way life is, it's not long enough for you to learn this and after that go and start and learn this and after that go and start and learn this. You only have enough time to learn this. But life requires more than this. Is it not true? Yeah, life. If you spend your time learning accounting, that is great. You become the best accountant. But life is more than adding numbers and figures. Do you see what I'm saying? So there are some other things you're going to have to trust the Lord to know. There are other things that the anointing must teach you. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are other things that the anointing must impart into your life. And the Bible says the anointing does that. Did we read that verse in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Did we read that verse? It says you have an unction last week, right? Give us that verse again. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Real quick, please. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, isn't it? And you know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One. And by that unction, you know a lot of things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look what's in verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you. Please, understand this today. There is another way of learning. Do you understand? That goes beyond the classroom. The anointing teaches you. It says the anointing teaches you. It teaches you of all things. And it's truth. And it's no lie. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's why anointed people seem to know a lot of things. It is the reason why sometimes the pastors look like they know a lot of things. Because it is an anointing upon them. And it teacheth them. Did we read Job chapter 32? Read that also. Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Maybe start from verse 7. Job chapter 32 and verse 7. It says, and I said that length of days. Bring it quickly, please. Job chapter 32 and verse 7. Okay. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. That's one source. So one source of wisdom is experience, that you have been around for a long time. Because when you've been around for a long time, you are exposed to many cycles. You see how things begin and how they end. You see many things. So based on the cycles or number of cycles you've observed, you can advise somebody and say, my friend, the road you're on is a bad road. Because you've seen many people take that road. Do you understand? But then what happens if you don't have the years? Because you are young. And many of us are young. So how are you supposed to know? That's where the anointing comes. Do you understand? That's what it says. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of Almighty. Oh, that's the anointing. That's the thing you need. The inspiration of the Almighty, which gives you understanding. Are you getting me? Dorothy, the inspiration of the Almighty. You need that inspiration. You need the inspiration of the Almighty to let you know things that you are too young to know. You get it? Because you haven't gone through enough cycles, Chichi. Do you understand? So you can't know it from experience, but you know it from inspiration. Yehuda, there's a lot you can know just from inspiration. The Spirit of God has taught you the thing. You know it's inside you, even though you've never experienced. You see, you're a single person and you are giving married people advice, and they'll just wonder. They'll say, how do you know this? But they will also know they can't ignore it, because what you are saying is true. Do you understand? The other verse said, it is truth and it is no lie. You can see it. You can see that it is truth and it is no lie. How I want the anointing. How I want to be anointed. There is a book. Where's the book on the anointing? The book I'm sharing from, Steps to the Anointing. He said, bring me one of those books. Let me show the book to you. Because I'm basically just sharing with you. Hallelujah. But I want you to get a copy of that book and to see the steps. Do you understand? Because this anointing thing we are talking about, you need it. You need it. It's not a luxury. It's not some, it is one of those preachings that they preach on Sunday morning. No. This is a very important message for you. Can I have an amen? Right. So, it says, the same anointing teacheth you of all things. And it's truth. And it's no lie. It's no lie. It's no lie. It's no lie. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God Almighty giveth him understanding. Hallelujah. So I want you to bow your heads and say, Lord, I'm open to your spirit. I'm open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm open to the anointing and the leading of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need your Spirit, oh God. I need the Spirit. Some of you are parents. You need the anointing to teach you how to raise a particular type of child. Because as you can see, all humans are not the same. There is no one approach and one key to every heart. It's not the same. From child to child, from person to person, you have to apply different keys and different methods to reach their heart. And how do you know which key opens which heart? That's where the inspiration of Almighty comes in. Becomes very relevant to what you are doing. God will help you. The anointing will teach you on the job. The anointing will teach you even how to study, what to study, how to approach your schoolwork. The anointing can teach you. It says it will teach you all things, everything. The anointing is universally relevant. And you need it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh, lead us to the promised land. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, oh, lead us to the promised land. Holy Spirit, sing it again. Holy Spirit, Holy. Holy Spirit, lead us to the promised land. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, blessed Comforter. You are our helper. You are our helper and our advocate. Strengthen us and our standby. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy, Holy Spirit, lead us to the promised land. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy, Holy Spirit, lead. Come on, sing, you are our helper, come on. You are our helper. Oh, and our advocate. Strengthen us and our standby. You are our helper. You are our helper. And our advocate. And our advocate, strengthen us and our standby. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy, Holy Spirit, lead. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Bow your heads, everybody, as we close the service this afternoon. If you're here this afternoon and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I do not have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be sure that my sins are forgiven. Because God will not give His Holy Spirit to a sinner. Even the name Holy Spirit implies that He only fits into holy places. The Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But before the Holy Spirit can live in you, you need to be cleaned out. Because even you will not move into an apartment that is not clean. The Holy Spirit cannot come into your life when it's full of filth and dirt and things that don't glorify God. That is why God has provided the all-time detergent that cleans every filth. There's not one sin that cannot be washed away by the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because my life is full of clutter and stuff that will prevent the Holy Spirit from inhabiting me as He needs to. So help me. Clean me out. I need the Lord to clean me out. Just while every eye is closed, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I need the Holy Spirit to clean me out. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Holy Spirit, only you can clean me out. My life is full of clutter and things that don't glorify God. But I ask for the blood of Jesus, that all-time, all-powerful detergent, to clean my heart, to clean my mind, clean my thoughts, clean my spirit. Wash me out. Thoroughly cleanse me. And fill me with your spirit. I need your spirit. I need your presence to be with me. I need the Holy Spirit to dwell in my heart. I need that inspiration that comes from Almighty, that transcends age and training and education, to affect my life, to put me in places, to enable me to think beyond my education, beyond my training, beyond my experiences, beyond my exposure. I need the Holy Spirit to make up that difference. Say, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Fill me up. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. Fill my cup. I lift it up today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Say amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday I was reading a verse in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 4. Proverbs, this is the book I'm talking about. Steps to the Anointing. You know, and I want everybody, if you don't have one, I want you to acquire one. How much is it? You'll bring them next week, right? How much is it? special $10 only. Do you get? I mean, think about it. I mean, all the anointing would do for you. I mean, if only you knew it. Do you understand? For $10, don't let's not quarrel in the church over $10. We tell your neighbor, stop this quarreling over $10.